Welcome to the Two Daft Yanks Podcast, the independent soccer show bringing you opinionated English Premier League analysis. Here are your hosts, Chad Smith and Corey Chatelain.
You are listening to the Two Daft Yanks Podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith. Greetings to you wherever you may be, and happy Pi Day. And with happy Pi Day said, let me bring in my co-host, Mr. Corey Chatelain.
Yeah, well, right off the bat, I'm going to tell everybody, like my dad used to say, pie are not round, pie are, cornbread are square or something. Because my dad used to love this dumb dad joke about, oh, pie isn't square, cornbread are square, pie are round. So there you go, pie are round, cornbread are square. And apparently I was told by a mathematician today that that actually is mathematically correct. So there you go. My dad was a math genius, didn't even know it.
Yeah, what did you call it? The cornbread theorem?
Yes, the cornbread theorem. Yeah, so I had to grow up with that. Every time somebody would mention the, you know, square root of something, I'd have to hear the cornbread are square joke.
So, all right. Well, happy Pi Day, folks, or happy cornbread day. That's what we're going to be celebrating here. And we'll have some tidbits about cornbread throughout the show. So stay tuned for that. So, we got a lot to talk about, Corey. We got league football, cup football, and then European cup football. It's awesome. So let's get going. All right. Big highlight of the weekend, of course, was your FA Cup quarterfinals. Let's just run through these really quick, and then we'll talk about a few issues here. Crystal Palace got the weekend started off on Friday, defeating Reading 2-0 away. So that's a good victory for them. Saturday, we saw one match. We saw Everton defeat Chelsea. Sunday, Watford defeated Arsenal 2-1. And then we have one outstanding match. We had Manchester United at home. I do believe they got a late goal to equalize and force a replay against West Ham. So the draw has been made, and this is how it's going to shake down. Everton will host the West Ham versus Manchester United winner, and then Palace will play Watford. And so I guess a couple talking points here. Unfortunately for you, Corey, Arsenal's back-to-back FA Cup titles will not be defended. You've won three already?
Oh, yeah, no, sorry. I see how you were phrasing it. Yes.
Yeah.
Never mind.
I was like, that's news to me if you already won three in a row, but your three-peat dreams are over at the hands of Watford.
Yes, along with many other things, because I pretty much had a come-to-Jesus moment after the match, and yeah, you know, same old stuff the last couple years. Play well, don't score, and then get hit on the break. So I'm now with everybody else in the I'm tired of the Groundhog Day stuff, and I'm pretty much ready for Wenger to go at this point. But not, Woo! You know, not vitriolic sense, but yeah, it's, you know, same shit over and over again, and I'm tired of it.
Okay, well then I know what you need. We're going to get this campaign going up. Hashtag Sherwood for Arsenal. He is a gooner after all. A gooner can become the manager of the Gooners. How about that?
Well, I'm sure there's other mentally deficient people out there that are fans of the club too. It doesn't mean that they're going to be manager though.
Oh, low blow. Sherwood calling him mentally deficient?
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm not sure what you can say anymore. So
yeah, I don't know. I like it.
Let's
mentally
just call it
deficient.
Without ever, you know, not sure what you can call people anymore without insulting people. So let's just call them mentally deficient.
Okay. Well, speaking of mentally deficient, how about the Chelsea versus Everton game and the antics of one Diego Costa. Who tried to go. He didn't go full-blown Luis Suarez, but he thought about it very hardly and deeply.
Yeah, which of course today the inevitable, oh, well, he didn't bite him, so, you know, it's not that big of a deal stuff, which, again, I'll just never understand. Well, I mean, I understand it because it's a perfect example of how far people will go out of their way to flat out lie about things that are clearly was intended on Costa's part. Because, again, it's one of those, well, yeah, you know, I didn't actually shoot the guy, or, you know, Donald Trump didn't actually start a riot. So, you know, therefore, he's not that bad of a guy. So, you know, how's it any different? Oh, well, he didn't bite him. Well, he kind of tried to. So, you know, whatever. He still should be banned heavily in my book. But of course, you got people now. You know, oh, well, even Barry said he didn't bite him. Okay, yeah, that may be true. Doesn't mean he didn't try to do it.
No, that's true. And he was already on a yellow, which made it just any more silly, because that's going to get a card every time.
Yeah, and he had already tried, you know, did the little half-assed headbutt thing.
Yes, you know? Which he loves that. So, no, I would say, I mean, I understand when you get in between the lines, you know, some people have a different mentality. But the way that he acts, I almost think that he is a sociopath. Has to be. There's no other explanation.
Well, yeah, because again, you know, an immature person, well, that's just the way they are too. So, like, because that's the thing that amuses me when I read stuff about him is like, well, that's just the way he is. So you kind of have to give him more leeway. Well, yeah, most immature people, that's the way they are and that's the way they're wired. So, you know, some of us grow up, some of us don't. So, you know, people that are, you know, coddled and, well, that's just the way they are. Okay, well, fine. He'll be 70 years old and he'll still be an immature prick. You know? Yeah,
so it's a tale of two strikers. So on one side, you have Costa, complete nut job. On the other side, you have Lukaku, banning in goals, the former Chelsea player that Mourinho ditched because, you know, I don't know, he doesn't play enough defense or he was immature. So remember, and I criticized Mourinho and Chelsea harshly for this, they got rid of Lukaku, brought in Drogba. So they got rid of the new Drogba to get the old Drogba, and now they're Drogba-less, and now they're adrift. And so I bet a lot of people right now would probably, hey, wouldn't it be nice if we had Lukaku on our team? Probably wouldn't be in the situation they're in right now if that was the case. So that's a – I mean, hindsight is 20/20, but I said it right away, so it's not hindsight in our case. I think we were both pretty critical when that time came.
Hindsight maybe 20/20, but you know, look at this year. They brought in Costa and Falcao, you know, combined 50 something million for however many goals they've gotten when they could have not spent that money and kept Lukaku. So, you know, yeah, hindsight's 20/20, but so is, you know, so is good decisions. And, you know, some hindsight, or just because sometimes hindsight doesn't mean that it's, you know, that it's not relevant as well. So yeah, hindsight's 20/20. Yeah. It's still relevant in some cases.
And as we said before, I think back then, and we've said it time and time again, traditionally, Mourinho is very harsh on his strikers. And he might get, you know, one good season out of them, but after that, the mind games that he plays and everything, it strips them of their confidence. And then they don't score goals. And then you're in a situation like this to where Chelsea was in the pits. They fire Mourinho, and now I do believe I was looking up these streaks, Corey. They're on a 13-game unbeaten streak in the league, which is the second highest total this year of any team behind Spurs and their 14 that they had, I think, in the fall. So Chelsea is a very much informed side, and if they didn't dig themselves such a hole, they'd probably have a very, very good chance of reaching Europe, but I think it's just too far out for him right now.
Well, yeah, because everybody loves to point out patterns and stuff, you know, once as an occurrence, twice as a trend, three times as a pattern. Well, it sure is a funny coincidence when all these strikers go to the Mourinho club and all of a sudden they all start performing poorly. You know, Shevchenko, Torres, Kesman, everybody that goes there, like you said, they may have a good season and all of a sudden after that they fall off. I mean, Andrei Shevchenko was arguably the best striker in the world when he was at Milan, and then all of a sudden he can't hit the side of a barn when he goes to Chelsea.
Very true. So let's get back on track here about the FA Cup, even though the Chelsea Schadenfreude was delicious in its shade of blue.
Yeah, because Lukaku's, like I said, both goals were, you know, they were pretty nice.
Yeah, so we'll get more into Lukaku later in the show, but I did some research here, Corey, and with this replay between Manchester United and West Ham, there is a ton of pressure on Manchester United, because I was thinking about, well, what has traditionally, or in recent past, what has the makeup of the semifinals been? And I found a very, very interesting trend. That is, it's a really good trend. I mean, it goes back, we're talking 30 years now, to where if you take the what is traditionally now called the top four, or the big four, which includes Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal, and Chelsea, and then for new purposes, I'll also add in the nouveau riche, Manchester City. In the last 30 years, there's only been two instances where one of those five clubs was not in the semifinals of the FA Cup, which is pretty interesting. So do you take a guess on maybe a year and who might have been involved in those years where none of these sides, where, you know, outside sides were in, off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, I wouldn't have a clue.
Okay. Well, I remember this one now. The last time one of those big five was not in the semifinals of the FA Cup was 2008, where you had Portsmouth, who ended up finishing eighth in the Premier League, and they were joined by three championship sides of West Brom, Cardiff, and Barnsley in 2008.
So, and that was Portsmouth when Ari was there, right?
Yes, I do believe Portsmouth did win that. And then after 2008, this is even crazier, you have to go back to 1987. So, I mean, if you look at it, Arsenal and Manchester United, pretty much one of those two getting the semifinals every year. So, man, you could still do it. But you have to go back to 87, and this is where the makeup of that was. It was Coventry City, who I do believe won that year, in 10th. Spurs, who finished third in the league that year. Then you have Leeds, who was in the championship at that time. And then Watford, I think probably one of the last times they were in the Premier League, and they finished ninth, or the first division, I guess, back then. No Premier League in 87, of course. So only 2 years out of like 30 where your traditional top four plus Man City were not in the semifinals. So a lot of pressure on Man U. And if Man U... I would say that West Ham's the firm favorite in the replay being at home.
I would agree with that because they were arguably the better side on the day on Sunday. I mean, Payet was probably lucky to stay on the field, but you know, I think overall, you know, maybe I'm biased against Man U, but I thought West Ham was the slightly better team overall.
Yes, and I was not able to see that match because it was on at the same time as the Spurs league match. So I have no opinion.
Well, let's put it this way. I thought the only reason why Man U was even able to come back was because they were at home. And, you know, you get that inevitable Old Trafford push. But I think if that match had been at, you know, on the road at West Ham, I don't know if they come back because, like I said, there were periods where I thought West Ham was definitely the better side.
Okay, so even though Manchester United is a name team, and they would keep this streak going to where only 2 years completely outsiders have been in there, I would say that this FA Cup is pretty much wide open and that any of the four teams could win it, given the right circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, even Watford, you know, if they play as compact as they did against us yesterday as well, I mean, you know, I maybe be, despite Everton's win over Chelsea, I would maybe put Watford second favorite at the moment.
All right, so there's your FA Cup update. And so with that, we will springboard right into just giving you the update in Europe, the cup situation there. It's not looking good for teams based in England. Chelsea were eliminated out of the Champions League this week, 4-2 on aggregate, with another 2-1 loss at home against PSG, which was a pretty entertaining match because it was still kind of open there. And I thought the second half was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, and I didn't see that one. It just followed it online, but, you know, kind of jokingly, but, you know, was also saying it because I got one of my hunches that when they had scored, you know, I tweeted as, oh, yeah, you know, give Chelsea a little hope before Zlatan kills it off. And, sure enough, about a half an hour later, Zlatan scores a goal to kill off that tie. But, you know, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Chelsea, you know, now that they're out of Europe and they pretty much, you know, it's still well up in the air if they're going to qualify or not for Europe, what they're going to do this summer if they don't. Because, you know, obviously Roman's got the, you know, got the financial resources to make all sorts of moves if he wanted to.
Yeah. And with financial fair play being rolled back, really not a whole lot that could stop them of saying, hey, we're going to do all we can not to miss Europe again.
Yeah, because even if financial fair play wasn't rolled back, people always forgot that had nothing to do with an actual spending cap because that spending cap was tied to your revenue. So if you have a lot of revenue, guess what? You still get to spend a lot.
True.
So like I said, even if it wasn't rolled back, they still could have made a bunch of moves.
Okay, so now we have two more ties, Champions League ties, second legs involving Premier League sides. I guess first up tomorrow, I do believe, on Tuesday, is Arsenal. We'll be traveling to Barcelona to try to overturn a 2-0 deficit.
No, more like headed to Barcelona for a day out.
Yeah, that's a no-hoper, right?
Not for me. I mean, I'll listen. I'm going to listen, but yeah, it's... You know, that'll be one where, you know, after Sunday, if we, whatever the score is tomorrow, a loss is not going to bother me.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think Barca heavy favorites there. If Arsenal somehow won 3-0, it would be probably one of the stories of the year.
Yeah, and it would, like I said, at this point, I think a win would do more harm than actually just going out of the tournament. You know, because that's one of those, at this point, I almost want to go out of the tournament just because it's like, oh, crap, now we got to play more matches. And all that's going to do is, you know, give us false hope and just give us more chances for muscular injuries. So let's just go out and, you know, concentrate on solidifying, you know, European places for next year.
That's right. Next up would be Manchester City in a much better position against weaker opposition. They, have a 3-1 lead heading into their second leg at home against Dynamo Kiev. Even though City did have a 0-0 draw against Norwich over the weekend, but you would think they'd be able to keep a 2-goal advantage at home against Kiev.
Yeah, I would say at home. Yeah. I mean, I would, even though they've been, you know, pretty much sleepwalking through their league season, the last month and a half or so, like you said, at home, I would be pretty shocked if Kiev was able to overturn that.
And I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a Manchester City supporter, and I was telling him, wouldn't it be hilarious if you guys somehow won the Champions League with Pellegrini on his way out the door?
Yeah, well, again, just like with his League Cup, if he does, he should go out holding it and, you know, with shooting double birds at everybody.
And then he added another twist of the knife that would make it even better. Let's say they beat Byron in the final to win it. How good of a story would that be?
Yeah.
He beats Pep in the final or even in any leg. And then he said, well, they could be matched up, you know, in the next round. That'd be a pretty compelling story. And I wouldn't put it past UEFA to maybe pull an FA and heat some balls to make that happen. Because that, that'd be a worldwide story.
Well, yeah, because, you know, with those random draws, you never know what's going to happen. Those random draws that seemingly, you know, get those storylines more and more as the years goes by.
Yeah. Let's go to the junior competition here, the Europa League. We'll start here with the all-English affair. Liverpool pretty handily beat Manchester United 2-0. And the first matchup between these two giants who are meeting in all places in the Europa League.
Yeah, 2-0, and it, you know, probably should have been 4.
Okay. And then something that was, could have been 4-0, probably would have been, or more, it could have been. Spurs went to Germany, played Dortmund, and got absolutely smashed.
Yeah, which of course I enjoyed, but, you know, that's for all the pep talk, you know, a lot of people are starting to jump on the Thomas Tuchel bandwagon about, oh, well, let's get him, you know, for the manager. So, you know, I think if Dortmund wins the Europa League, I think you're going to start seeing all sorts of people, you know, talk about Thomas Tuchel going here, going there, you know, even if not in England, you know, maybe in other places, like, you know, since Madrid likes to change their coach every year, you know, even when they win, you know, you might start seeing, you know, Thomas Tuchel's name popping up all over the place.
I would imagine that he'd probably want to stay.
You would think, but just saying that, you know,
won't stop the links.
Yeah, and especially, you know, in the modern game when everybody's got a price, you know, if staying in Dortmund's one thing, but, you know, when Real Madrid rocks up and, you know, offers you 10 times your salary, you know, are you still a club man at that point or what, you know?
Or maybe Liverpool will take him after Klopp flames out next year. Yeah,
a Borussia Dortmund manager Voltron.
Yeah. Oh, that could happen too.
Yeah.
Maybe Klopp hires him as his assistant.
Yeah, or like a co-manager thing.
Dual managers.
Yeah, because like I said, everybody was talking about Klopp last year, and now everybody over in the Arsenal camp's now on the Tuchel bandwagon. So, like I said, I just think that you're going to start seeing more and more people start talking about Thomas Tuchel.
All right, that's another one to watch. I know he's a hot name, and I think what he started at Mainz, right?
That's
where he made his name.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
Yeah, I would say other than, you know, the obligatory Dortmund and the American players in Bayern, I haven't followed German football that much the last few years.
Gotcha.
Been concentrating on winning cups and trying to win the league, damn it.
There we go. All right, so there's Europe in a nutshell. So we'll have more to talk about next week when we'll have draws, I'm sure. We'll have the next time we talk to you, we should have what the next rounds of Europe will be after the draws are complete. So that'll be interesting with a lot of quality sides left, obviously. I don't know. Do we want to go to the next topic or do we want to get some This Week in Daftness out of the way?
No, let's go ahead and get the Daftness out of the way.
All right, let's do that. So let's bring in our favorite British announcer lady. I know she wants to use her voice because, you know, she spins most of the time locked up in a broom closet. So let's let her out.
Two Daft Yanks presents This Week in Daftness.
We need the cuts to play football.
Ryan Giggs, do you think he should be a part of the future of Manchester United?
It's a stupid question, I think. It's a stupid question.
Louis van Gaal's army! Louis van Gaal's army!
How daft.
All right, do we have a dandy This Week in Daftness for you? We had all kinds of great nominees this week, Corey. We had the crazy, you showed me this blog before, the whole football conspiracy blog about Leicester and how the referees and the pundits and
doping and all this other stuff.
They're taking EPO, I guess. I don't know. And that's how Leicester's and Howard Webb. They're like unstoppable ever since Howard Webb's been selecting the referees and they're getting paid because it's some betting syndicate.
Yeah.
And all the media members have like, what, 5,000 to 1 betting tickets on Leicester to win the title, which makes no sense because we know it wasn't that high.
Yeah, no, it was at the beginning of the season.
Okay. Well, see, then the conspiracy runs even deeper, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. What, you mean none of that? You mean none of that's true?
Yeah. And then you had a runner-up was is it Port Vale? I think yes. They pronounce it a little different in some places. Anyway, Port Vale, they're having some difficulties with their money. And so the players have been having to pay for their own hotel rooms on road trips. So that was an interesting story that we almost – but this one takes the cake. So let's get a round of applause.
I was going to say, here. They should use TripAdvisor.
They should, or, yeah.
You know, the
roaming
Deal Dash and all those other ones, man. Get you some cheap rooms in there.
Deal Dash, hotels.com or
Trivago. Yeah, get the Travelocity Gnome as your on staff.
Yeah. So, but let's get a round of applause for our favorite footballing icon, and that is Mr. Harry Redknapp. Oh, Harry's back in the news. Now, this isn't official, but enough people are reporting it to where we'll go with it, because if we wait a week and it doesn't happen, it won't be funny. So news is that Harry Redknapp is about to take over as the director of football at one promotion hopeful Derby County, Corey.
Yeah, and I like every time Harry gets hired somewhere, because that definitely – that means that old Rosie the dog is going to be keeper of the finances once again.
So – but this is what makes this even funnier is if you know anything about Harry, anywhere he goes – he forces that club to change their front office structure because he does not like working with the director of football. Because as we all know, he likes to do his wheeling and his dealing, and he can't do his shady deals where, you know, he's getting 10, 15% of player salaries if there's a director of football stopping in the way. So instead of being a manager, he's found a way to be able to do this and say, hey, it's a part of my job. And that's director of football. So Harry, who's come out and said, directors of football, they're rubbish. I don't understand it. They make it hard on the manager. Well, now he's one himself.
Yeah, well, he must have found out how much they actually make and said, oh, that's why am I, you know, why manage matches when you can get fired from results? I'll just, you know, collect the money and be director of football instead.
No, exactly. So I feel and sorry.
Let Rosie handle the bank account.
Yeah, let the dog go to town. Say, you protect that bank account there, Rosie. And this is all for a man who supposedly can't read or write. So I don't know how you could be a good director of football if you supposedly can't read or write.
Well, that's Rosie's probably a service dog, you know, helps him out with all sorts of things. You know, I mean, if the dog's handling the finances, I mean, it's got to be a pretty smart freaking dog. So I don't see what the issue is here.
Yeah. But I feel sorry for Derby County because I know they're trying to get promoted, but I hope they do know that if they actually do go through with this hire, if they don't get promoted, they're pretty much going to get bankrupted with Harry, you know, in charge of the purse strings, or should I say with Rosie in charge of the purse strings.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he almost bankrupted Bournemouth back in the day, basically did bank Portsmouth. I wish he would have bankrupted y'all at Spurs, but, you know, unfortunately, Levy must have actually put his foot down at some point. But, yeah, so old Harry doesn't, you know, he leaves a lot of burned bridges and a lot of devastation in the financial bank accounts of the clubs he, you know, ends up touching at some point.
That's very true. So, yeah, so Derby County, prepare for, you know, relegation, possible administration. They better get up because if they don't, they're in a lot of trouble. And if you don't know what we're talking about, just Google Rosie 47.
And you'll see. Or just the back history of Harry Redknapp and his finances.
Well, that too. Congratulations, Nico Kranjčar, on your impending summer transfer to Derby.
That's true. His future move to Derby. And, well, Jermaine Defoe, too, probably.
Maybe.
Crouchy. Crouchy's going to have a job again.
And we'll talk about Jermaine Defoe here maybe in a little bit. But hey, let's talk about the news on Friday. And I guess he made his debut today in a loss to Leicester City on a audacious bicycle kick by Okazaki to give Leicester the 3 points to keep their title point, their title run intact here. But Rafa Benitez took over as the manager of Newcastle this last Friday. It is being reported, Corey, that he has an out clause that if they get relegated, he can get out of the contract. So I guess threefold. A, we'll just do this one at a time. Is this a good move by Newcastle?
Yes.
Okay. B, why did it take them so long?
Because I think, as we said last week, that astutely when Rebecca Lowe pointed out McLaren actually sat on the board at Newcastle, I think they, you know, basically didn't want to get rid of McLaren right away because I'm sure, you know, being on the board, he's had a pretty sweet buyout clause and they had, you know, people forget Newcastle spent the most money of any club in Europe in the January window. So, you know, I'm sure they were a little hesitant to pull the trigger since it probably wasn't cheap to get McLaren to go. Cause again, people forget when you fire somebody and you know, that's under contract, the way contract law works is you have to pay the rest of the contract out or pay, you know, whatever the buyout is. So, you know, that would be my guess is that they were hesitant to pull the trigger after spending all that money in January.
Okay. And then I guess C, will this work or have they left it too late? Does Benitez stand any chance to get them out of the fire?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, do they have a chance? Yeah. Because, you know, Benitez is pretty conservative, you know, tactically. So, you know, I don't know if you got a chance to see the match today, but they were definitely much better today. You know, with their shape and everything, and their road form has been atrocious. So even though they didn't get the result today, they played much better on the road today than they have, you know, probably all season. So, you know, that augurs well for the last 8 or 9 games. Cause like I said, their road form has been, you know, it's been Villa-like with them on the road.
Yeah, they did. And as I said, when we look at the splits, at home, they're pretty good. On the road, they're terrible. So at home, they might be able to make some hay. And I do believe from looking at my strength of schedule analysis, they do have games against Villa and Sunderland to close out the season. So those will be huge games.
Yeah, the Tyneside Derby is next week, I think.
Oh, okay. Great. That's great to know. And so let me just check you. Remember, 2-Daft Yanks, EPL schedules tab. I'm there right now, Corey. And I am looking to see if you are right. And you are right. That's the match on Sunday. One of the early matches is Newcastle hosting Sunderland and a huge six-pointer.
Yeah, relegation six-pointer.
So that's going to be fun. And I should mention that Aston Villa play Swansea, which is down there too. Two teams down there. So interesting. Okay. So, yeah. So Benitez, you know, he kind of gets a bad rap, but he's been a successful manager. You look at his stats for his career, he's exactly at 50% winning percentage. Just nothing to sneeze at. He's won, what, 2 La Liga titles, I think, at Valencia.
Mm-hmm.
An FA Cup at Liverpool. And then he won the Europa League. Remember when he was the interim manager at Chelsea?
Yeah. And like I said, he's. You know, some people, you know, would put him in that overrated category as a manager, because you know you can probably make an argument with the resources he had at Liverpool. He never really reached the potential of the club there. But like I said, at a place like Newcastle, I think that's it's definitely a good situation for him to. You know, keep them up because tactically he's usually pretty good And, you know, like we talked about before, that a lot of times, even if he gets relegated, it's a no-lose situation for him, because, you know, if you don't put an out clause in your contract for relegation like that, well, then you or your agent is basically, you know, a goofball. So, like I said, it's a no-lose situation for him.
Okay, and then I guess to wrap this up, I will ask, let's say they do go down. Do you think he'd be the type of manager not to exercise that out clause? Of course, they asked him about it, I think, yesterday or today. And of course, he didn't say. He said, hey, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But do you think he would have any interest in managing in the championship next season?
No, I think he would go back to Spain at that point.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, because again, that's with those foreign managers, a lot of times you can always just, you know, go back to your home country and get a gig there. So, like I said, to me, it's a no lose situation for those kind of managers in my book.
All right, let's wrap up the show here with one final topic, and it's something I've been wanting to talk about, but with the actions of today, it makes it even better. So let's talk about this race for the Golden Boot, Corey, as we get down. Individual honors here. This is a pretty interesting race right now. And just to recap for you all, Harry Kane scored 2 goals over the weekend. And I don't know, what are there tiebreakers with the goals?
Is
it like appearances and starts or something?
Yeah, so if there is, I think it's usually tied to appearances.
Okay, and I'm not.
So obviously, if you have fewer appearances with the same amount of goals, the guy with the fewer appearances is technically the winner, I think.
Okay, well, right now, joint number one is Harry Kane with 19 goals, and then Jamie Vardy with 19 goals. And they both have 30 appearances with no subs. So they both have 30 starts under their belt. So I don't know how you would differentiate the two if they do tie. But just one back, we have the aforementioned Lukaku at 18 goals. But he has 28 appearances. So he's kind of got the lead there because he missed a game or two. And then other people on this scoring list, it is interesting. About the only stalwart you have up here now, Corey, is Aguero on 16 goals in fourth place. And then you got Mahrez on fifth place on 15 goals. Then you got Watford striker Agalu on 14. Giroud has 12. He's in seventh. You got Costa with 11. And then you have Jermaine Defoe in ninth place. Can you believe that? With 11 goals. There's only 9 people with more than 10 goals, and those are the 9.
Yeah.
you're like, those are facts.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. Yes.
Okay, so I guess the question is, I guess the main thing that points out to me is just, you know, the top three. I mean, who would have guessed Kane, Vardy, Lukaku would be your top three? Because, you know, the questions last year with both Kane and Vardy, well, they're one-year wonders, right? And then it seems like everybody kind of is down on Lukaku for whatever reason.
Vardy wasn't even a wonder. I think he only had like 6 goals all last year, I thought. So
you may be right.
Technically wasn't even a wonder last year.
No, I think you're right. But let me look that up here.
I mean, he had that good game against Man U, but I thought he only had like 6 or 7 goals last year.
I think you are right. And I'm clicking on his profile right now.
I could be wrong, but I thought that's what I read earlier or before.
14-15, yeah, 5 goals.
Yeah, 5 goals, but he had like 2 of them in that Man U game where they beat him 5-3, and I think it was one of those where everybody kind of remembered that game, and then, you know, I think he scored an important goal in their relegation run in at the end of the year, and then this year is when he, you know, basically went off on everybody.
But he did have, the year before that in the championship, he did have 16 goals. So he had a goal-scoring pedigree in the championship, but not in the Premier League until this season.
Right, right.
So it's kind of like, you know, these things run in cycles, kind of the changing in the guard here. You got no Rooney. Drogba's gone, right? So he's not up on the list anymore. He's tormenting MLS teams, I guess.
And non-turf fields now too.
Yeah, non-turf MLS teams. So you're off the hook, Seattle and Vancouver and Portland, I guess, right? So, yeah, it's just interesting that we have this race, and it's, you know, two young guys in Kane and Lukaku, and then you got Vardy, who's older, but unproven, I guess, we'd say. But he's snapped onto the scene, so it'll be interesting to see what happens here, especially if Leicester goes on to win the title. Being a small club, would they maybe, if they win the title, would they be more apt to sell Vardy? You know, at his high point, say, hey, this guy's never going to be worth more. Maybe we sell him, reinvest to sustain the club. I don't know. These are things to think about here in the summer and through this run-in.
Well, yeah, because what I think Vardy will be 29 or 30 next year. So, you know, technically maybe only has 2-3 good years left in him historically for strikers. But, you know, if the likes of Madrid are truly interested in Mahrez, and, you know, maybe they just sell Mahrez and keep Vardy. So who knows?
Yep. And that's, they could go that way too. So, yeah, but we'll have to see. Hopefully they have that 5-point gap, but I think there'll be some twists and turns because as Arlo White mentioned today, they did look a little nervy at the end of today's match, and they were lucky that they were playing Newcastle, who is, I mean, going forward, they're a train wreck.
Yeah, and conspiracy jokes aside, you know, Leicester has been pretty lucky with penalty calls this year. I mean, I think they've gotten kind of that boost that Liverpool got a couple years ago where Liverpool had like 5 more penalties than everybody else in the Premier League that year. That's kind of how Leicester, I think Leicester's got 11 or 12 penalty awards this year. So that's, and again, I'm not saying that they don't deserve them, but that's one of those that, you know, if they don't get any penalty calls the rest of the year, maybe that's a thing where maybe that's where the drop points come in. And, you know, instead of getting 3 points, you know, maybe that's the difference in the draw. And that's where, you know, the likes of Spurs end up catching them. Oh, God, that made me nauseous to say that.
Yeah. And then I guess today it went the other way. They were on a beneficial end of what probably should have been a penalty with Wes Morgan.
Yeah, doing the technique that I suggested last week or the week before that I told y'all was going to happen because of the way they call penalties now. Because, again, if that's the way you call it, why not just do that on purpose?
Which was what? Explain it to the people who did not see.
Well, you put your arms inside your chest, but you make a movement towards the ball, but you make it look like it's unintentional when it's actually intentional because, oh, well, his arm's in his chest. He's just protecting himself. Yeah, while he's moving towards the ball.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it's one of those where it's – even if it's not intentionally that you're blocking the ball with your arms inside your body, you can make it look unintentional when it's kind of unintentional.
Yes.
So
I'm thoroughly confused.
No, you're not.
All this intentional, unintentional. What is this, baseball? They give them the unintentional walk. It was an intentional walk. You know, the unintentional, intentional walk. Where they don't really throw it four wide, they just kind of pitch around you.
Yeah, just kind of throw it up there and
yeah,
throw it in the dirt 4 times.
Anyway, all right, little broadcasting note here. I don't know when we'll run this. We'll see how it goes, but I will be interviewing midweek during the day a CEO of a company that has put together this brand new scouting software. And so we're going to learn more about that. They've signed contracts with some teams, some pretty big teams. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about their system. And their system is all about finding clubs for players based off analysis. And then also trying to figure out what a fair transfer price for that person is, I guess, based off their age, you know, their potential, their analytics, other things. So it sounds like a pretty interesting program. And I'm not sure if I'm explaining that properly, but we will find out because we'll be talking to the CEO over in Europe who they reached out to us to come on the show. And I said, heck yeah, this is what Corey and I are all about. So I will be recording that interview. We'll let Corey take a listen to it. And then we'll tag it on to a show either this coming weekend or we'll put it out with a short conversation afterwards with Corey and I during the midweek.
Yeah, and Chad and I are always interested in this kind of data analysis stuff because, as we've said numerous times on the pod before, our day jobs, we make maps, but the maps we make are generally go for data analysis purposes. So, we're always interested to see how data is put together and how data is, then in turn, gets turned into a data set to be used for, all sorts of analytical purposes.
Exactly. Very well said. So, we'll be back with that in some form. I'm not sure because I don't know what it's going to be about because I don't really have a clue yet. So I can't commit to anything. I can't commit.
Yeah, no, I, like you said, I'm definitely interested to see what's going on because, when you forwarded me the email, I was a little confused on what the guy actually meant too because, all I could see was, okay, when do we get hired as scouts?
That's right. Maybe we could peddle this into – we can be scouts over there in the Eastern Bloc. We could be Eastern Bloc scouts. Be great in the Baltic.
We'll start some American pipeline to Slovenia or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
Come scout in Alaska.
Yeah. So all right, folks, that's going to wrap up the show for this week. But since it's Pi Day, but we're celebrating Cornbread Day.
That's right.
So we got, what is this guy's name?
Bojack.
Bojack. Some Zydeco music with old Bojack. So let's fire that up. I think this is the first time we had some authentic Zydeco on this show as an outro, Corey.
Yeah, man, you like to cut the rug. You should get you some Bojack.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. It's the best song about cornbread I've ever heard. That's for sure.
Indeed.
So rock on out to some Bojack and look forward to some European football this weekend or this midweek. And we'll be back in the weekend to break it all down and perhaps that bonus pod. Maybe I'll eat some cornbread while we're talking about football analytics and scouting.
Yeah, give them cornbread.
So, all right. So for Corey,
give them cornbread. Yeah, let's get out of here before I ruin the place with my horrible singing.
I'm Chad Smith saying thank you for listening to the 2DAF Yanks podcast.
This has been the 2DAF Yanks podcast. If you like the show, be sure to find the Yanks at 2DAFYanks.com or at 2DAF Yanks on Twitter. There, you can stay up to date on all the 2DAF Yanks action by subscribing to the show.